This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
From the gashes in the earth to gorgeous, smooth single track, ready to make bike riding a roller coaster of fun. Much of this work was completed by teens in their Youth Corps Workforce Development Program that put their hands, heads, and hearts together to create trails that, well, shred. Today, we're here with Adam Milner, Outdoor Recreational Planner for the Bureau of Land Management, Tom Slovak, Trail Builder from the Northwest Trail Alliance, Jill Van Winkle, Trail Specialist from the International Mountain Bike Association, and Sam Hardy, Ant Farm Workforce Development Supervisor, as well as one of the ants that brought the trail to fruition, Travis Roundy. For those of you who don't know about Sandy Ridge, it's a very special place in the Oregon woods, about an hour outside of Portland. Close enough that it's accessible by public transportation, but far enough to be out in nature, Sandy Ridge is a world-class mountain bike trail system that is becoming the gold standard for building accessible, sustainable trails around the world. Where Portland has lost a little momentum in being the leader for bicycle transportation, Sandy Ridge has picked up the flame and brought worldwide attention to public works projects getting done right when you have the right plan in the right place with the right people, not to mention all in less than 3 years' time. First of those of our guests today is Adam Milner, Outdoor Recreational Planner from the Bureau of Land Management. Adam Milner, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you.
So for our listeners who have never seen it, maybe who don't really mountain bike, can you paint a picture of what the Sandy Ridge Trail System looks like, the flora, the fauna?
Sure, yeah. So Sandy Ridge is located out towards Mount Hood on Highway 26, close to the small community of Brightwood. It's on a ridge directly above where the Sandy and the Salmon Rivers come together. Elevation out there, it's about 1,000 feet up to about 2,600 feet. So the way the trail system works, if you haven't been out there, is we have a trailhead basically at the bottom of the hill. It's a parking area. Got information there. Some beginner loop trails available for folks. And then what you do is you bike up a paved road about 3.25 miles up to near the top of the ridge. And from there, you have a whole bunch of different options when it comes to different trail options.
How much elevation do you gain in that?
You gain about 1,200 feet.
So
it's on a paved road. It kind of makes the grunt a little bit easier.
But you're getting up to a trail system. It's not just like you ride in and you're in the forest immediately. You're kind of...
Yeah, it's been kind of likened to a little bit of a ski hill where you're taking almost a lift up. But instead of a lift, you're pedaling your bicycle to the top. So once you're there at the top, you have a number of options. You've got kind of like skiing. You have the black line. You have the blue line. You have green trails. So what we've tried to do out there is provide kind of something for whatever ability level you might be.
Okay, and what is it? Clear cut? Is it a live forest? What is that piece of land?
So it's
look like?
You know it's that piece of land has a lot of things going on there. It's actually directly south of the Bull Run Watershed Management Unit, the source of Portland's water supply. Basically, the other side of the ridge is that watershed management unit. It's forested. All of it is conifer forest, kind of mixed ages. Some of it's more mature. Some of it's been harvested in the last 40, 50 years. Little Joe Creek, which is a really nice cascade stream, runs through the middle of it. And at the top, there's a couple nice rock outcroppings and scree fields that give you some views of the Sandy River watershed.
Including Mount Hood,
yeah. A couple viewpoints in there. You got to know where to look on the right day, but a couple viewpoints of the mountain for sure.
So can you tell our listeners a little bit more about how this piece of land from the Bureau of Land Management, which is sometimes seen as a bureaucratical, oh my gosh, it's the feds.
No, never.
They don't want anything. They just want to cut down all that wood, and that's their idea of management. How did this piece of land become a recreational trail system?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think a lot of folks know about the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. I think people are more familiar with the other agencies, and the BLM actually manages 1/8 of the surface area of the United States.
Wow.
On behalf of the public. So, and that's for a bunch of different uses. I mean, when it comes to mountain biking specifically, the trails in Moab, the trails in Western Colorado, trails in Idaho, all of those, many of those are on BLM land. So this isn't the only example of a case where BLM land is being used for this activity. Actually, we're one of the leading providers of this activity. But in terms of that specific place, the story goes back kind of a long way. Back in the mid-90s, the BLM, that hillside was in private ownership, partially, and a land exchange took place at that time. In the 2000s, the BLM purchased some land along the Sandy River and the Salmon River. So eventually we had about 6,000 acres of new public land that was available. And so we had to kind of launch into a planning process to figure out what to do with all that. So 6,000 acres, that's a little bit more than is in all of Forest Park. So it's a pretty substantial chunk of ground. And so what we did is we kind of kicked it out to the public like we should and said, hey, this is a great opportunity. What's lacking up here? And a few things came out from that: river access to the Sandy River for boating, and then really a lack of non-motorized trails from Portland by the time you get up to Mount Hood. You know, until you hit the Forest Service boundary, there's really not a lot of opportunities up there. Doesn't mean the resources aren't great. It just means those opportunities don't exist. So we went through a planning process that involved the public, and what we heard pretty loud and clear is we need some more non-motorized trails. And so we took a look at our land base and found that that Sandy Ridge area, it wasn't called Sandy Ridge before then. We coined it Sandy Ridge, but that, for a number of different reasons, terrain-wise, location-wise, really had the best opportunities for that. And so once we made that essentially determination, we kind of launched into the process of, what does this look like? How do we do this? Who do we involve? What sort of people are we gonna reach out to? And that's kind of where the rest of the folks here sort of come into the story.
And speaking of which, I'm going to bring with us into the conversation in just a moment, Jill Van Winkle. But first, I want to give our pitchers an opportunity to tell us why it's so important for you to support KBOO, because of programming just like this. Stories like this are integral to the KBOO membership and what we want to bring to you.
Thanks so much. My name is Justin, and we don't normally interrupt destination programming like the bike show, but we do so during our spring membership drive in order to give you, dear listener in Radioland, an opportunity to say thank you by calling 877-500-5266. That's toll-free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-KBOO. You can do that online, always secure at kboo.fm, or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Portland and make your donation in person. 877-500-KBOO might be the simplest and easiest way to do it. We have a very modest goal for the bike show today. It's $400. And there are thousands of you listening. I'm looking through my magic mirror and I can see thousands of you listening. Seems to me, if my math is right, if four of you would be willing to donate 33 cents a day towards that $2,000 it costs to service your community radio station, that would take us over goal. Maybe eight of you could donate 16 cents a day towards that $2,000. That would amount to $60. We could set you up on an electronic funds transfer, and that is a really easy way to go. It's secure and quiet, $5 a month. Could you do that for your bike show, for your community radio station? 877-500-5266. Portland is a perennial contender for the most bike-friendly city in America. So I know that this is destination programming, and I know there are a lot of people who are listening. The bike is ubiquitous here, and it's really critical that the community has an outlet and has an access point to be able to talk about bike culture and bike politics and how that's going on. But we're only able to have an access to the public airwaves, our airwaves, because of community radio. Go down to Fox News and ask them to do a show on sustainable bike culture in Portland and come back and tell me what happens. 877-500-5266 to say thank you. Remember, these are volunteers, and we have done pretty much everything we can do to strip the cost out of your community radio station. We're not paying the Bike Show Collective. We're not paying Kurt, who's running the board. We're not paying our volunteers who are answering your calls. We're producing almost all of our own content, so we're not spending money there. Instead of replacing things, we're buying duct tape and chewing gum, so we're not spending a huge amount on equipment. And as you might have heard me say, we're even trading with the hotel next door to handle our garbage. So we're trying to keep the cost down, but we'd like to bring the membership up. If you've never made the call, you have showed admirable resolve, and you are going to make a formidable ally on the social change side of things. Call right now and introduce yourself. 877-500-KBOO.
Hi, I'm Tori Bortman. We're back here with the KBOO Bike Show. This morning we're talking about the magical with and about some of the magical elves that came along and made the Sandy Ridge Trail system, including Adam Milner, the outdoor recreational planner from the Bureau of Land Management. And I'd also like to bring Jill Van Winkle, who is a trail specialist from the International Mountain Bicycling Association, into the conversation. She's been making sure trails get built right for a long time, and we're happy to have her here to explain why trails need the International Mountain Biking Association's guidance. Jill, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about your involvement with the International Mountain Biking Association's involvement with the Sandy Ridge Trail System?
Sure, Tori. We got involved in this project in 2007. We were commissioned by the state parks to do a workshop on sustainable trail building design and planning for land managers across Oregon. And Zach Jarrett, who is a recreation lead with the Bureau of Land Management, came to that workshop. And at the time, he was going through the scoping process for the Sandy River Basin system.
And for those of you who don't know, Zach is a direct co-worker with Adam Milner.
Right.
Yeah, so Zach Jarrett is one of the rec planners that has really kind of driven that project from the start, and one of the folks that brought Jill and the other folks with EMBA kind of on board for the project.
Yeah, so Zach attended this workshop, and it was perfect timing, really, because he was going through the scoping process, and what the process was telling them, as Adam had mentioned earlier, was that there was a lack of non-motorized trails close in, and mountain biking and river access were really rising to the top. There's a lot of wilderness trails on that side of Mount Hood, which are close to mountain biking access, and so mountain biking was identified as a key need. And here, someone from the International Mountain Biking Association, who lives in the region, was giving a workshop about how to build sustainable trail systems. So Zach contacted us and said, can you come look at this opportunity and tell us if it would work? And so I came out there with Zach and did a tour, and we came up with a conceptual plan for a trail system that included the Sandy Ridge trail area, as well as a small system over by the Marmot Dam site. And then from that, we got involved in further planning process and started doing a master plan in the fall of 2007. And pretty much from there, we've been involved pretty integrally with the BLM on this planning process.
That's the Bureau of Land Management.
Sorry, the Bureau of Land Management. And we created an assistance agreement specifically around this project that facilitates our partnership. We have a lot of agreements.
These are a lot of big words. What does that mean?
Yeah. So
So an assistance agreement, the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, like many other federal agencies, has partnerships with different non-federal, non-profit organizations that identify different objectives that we share and working towards those. So the Sandy Ridge Project is one of those where we kind of found common ground with a non-federal entity and said, hey, let's partner on this project. So IMBA is one of many kind of agreements that we have with folks in getting our work done.
So that facilitated the process, and so we've been involved with the Bureau of Land Management on this planning process pretty much from really early on. Before any shovels went in the ground, that's something that gets overlooked, is that these trail systems take a lot of background work, a lot of planning.
And what kind of planning?
So there was a lot of stomping around in the woods. There was several months of Zach and myself and other Bureau of Land Management and IMBA staff people hiking around the woods and identifying where trails can go and they can't. There were a lot of meetings.
How do you do that? Because I think, like, people look at Forest Park and there's people going in making rogue trails. And that's so bad for so many reasons. But one of them being is they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And can maybe I've never actually been involved in planning a trail build. I've done a little bit of shoveling and moving rocks and things that somebody else told me to do. But what makes a sustainable trail?
Sure. Well, it's an iterative process. It's a planning process where there are many steps. So the first is looking at the land. So these 6,000 acres, what's our elevation gain? What is the vegetation like? What are the what's the hydrology? Where are the streams flowing? What are our grades? How steep is it? So we look at all of those factors and take them into account and look first at the maps. And then we go out in the field and the first time you just hike around in the woods. And that's all you're doing. You might be taking some points with your GPS, might be hanging some flags at places that look interesting. We find some really nice rock outcroppings or a beautiful viewpoint of the mountain or a stream that we want to go to. So we start identifying these, and then we build the trail system around that.
And then what about, so I hear a lot of the beauty, but what about the sustainability part?
So as part of any federal action that we take, you know, we run it through an analysis process. This is with an ID team, our interdisciplinary team. So this is a wildlife biologist, a hydrologist, a fisheries person, cultural resources. And what we're doing is we're looking at what the potential impacts of that trail might be. So we put forward a proposal, and then we look at, hey, based on these resources that are out there, what can we predict is going to happen? And so that's kind of the screens that we put that through to make sure that we don't put anything on the ground that's going to have a harmful or an unintended effect on our natural resources out there.
Right, because you want this trail, any trail system now. Now, is that how trails were historically built?
You know, a lot of times, I think part of the reason why this project is unique is because it has been proactive. I think many trail systems in the United States have been, you know, reactive to direct pressure or people building rogue trails incorrectly. And then there's a pressure or a move to adopt those systems by the government or the land manager. And then you're dealing with maybe a set of headaches in terms of them not being built properly. You know, think about adopting a road system that you didn't know that you did, maybe wasn't built in the right way. It's very similar to that. There's a liability associated with maintenance and everything else. So this project was nice because we had the chance from the ground up to do it correctly, to do it right, to do it sustainably. And I think that's been a big part of the success.
And are there a lot of trails on Hood or in... I kind of think of older trails that have been there for a long time that maybe people were just using as footpaths. I mean, what did they do then? Did they just guess?
Well, I think that, there are some principles. There's not, it's not rocket science, but there is a science to designing trails. And looking at grades and looking at the way that water flows is important. And there were some of those, there was some of that understanding in historic trails. One thing that we were able to add to that for the Sandy Ridge Trail system that was important was that we were able to take into account the bike and the flow of a bike.
And I want to hear more about that, but right now we need to talk about some cash flow with Justin. We're in the middle of our membership drive, and we would like you to become a member or continue your membership.
Thanks so much, Tori. Couldn't have put it better myself. This is Destination Radio, the KBOO Bike Show, on the first Wednesday of every month, and we are grateful for it in this, one of the most bike-friendly cities in America, and we're asking you to put your money where your ears are today. It doesn't take a lot of money. It could be pennies, nickels, and dimes. It could be dollars, but mostly that you will stand up and join and vote and become a stakeholder and let us enter your name into the good book. Won't you call right now, toll free, 877-500-5266. That's a toll free number from anywhere in North America, 877-500-KBOO. Of course, we are now reaching every corner of the globe, as some might say, through our website, kboo.fm. Last I looked at our Google Analytics, we were reaching about 140 out of the roughly 200 countries on Earth. That is an amazing achievement. And I know that when we began this experiment 23 million minutes ago, there were not as many alternatives. The interboobs had not been invented. And so perhaps you were had less opportunities, less alternatives. But you know what, folks? Even with all the alternatives now, we understand you can go online and find lots of things, though you won't find the Bike Show Collective doing this, except at kboo.fm. And we are working on continuing also to come into the 21st century. And we have many to gather and bring with us. So we thank you for your patience while you teach us, dear listener, while you show us, while you lead us to all the more we can do. It starts with you making a call and being counted. 877-500-5266. I want to send a big thanks to Val in Amity, who renewed. Thank you so much, Val. And, you know, I wanted to mention, folks, how are programming decisions made? On the commercial band, some company selling widgets says, we'll pay you for hours of your programming, and we'll sell the widgets, whether people are interested in the widgets or not, whether those widgets are sustainable, whether those widgets are destroying the earth. That's how it goes. Go and buy your programming. Here, it's a very different animal. How are our program decisions made? Well, volunteers identify a community need. For example, bike culture. here. Bike sustainability. This is a community need in Portland. Volunteers submit a program proposal. Here's how we are going to address this community need through access and programming. And then these programs go on the air. And the reason everyone is able to enjoy, the reason everyone is able to participate is because the doors are open, the lights are on, the board is functioning, and the transmitter is working. And it doesn't take a lot of money, about $2,000 a day, between $80 and $90 an hour, but it takes involvement. It takes Tori's involvement and all the folks who work tirelessly every month to bring you the bike show. It takes all sorts of involvement, and just like in your life, dear listener, it takes a little bit of money. You need your lights on, and you need KBOO's lights on. So leave them on, folks, and pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. Everyone's doing their part. Kurt's operating the board. We got volunteers here who are answering your calls. Restaurants are donating food, and I would like to thank them. Thank you to Toast at 5222 Southeast 52nd Avenue. Thank you to Daily Grill at 750 Southwest Alder. Thank you to Blue Olive at 500 Northwest 21st Avenue. And thank you to all of you who have called so far. But think about it. 10% of you have made the call, while 90% have resisted our entreaties. Imagine all, I mean, we can't fit more hours in the day, but we can train thousands more people. We have trained thousands already, and we can train thousands more. We can improve our technological base in order to put more information on the web, in order to continue upgrading our website. We can buy equipment, field recorders to send our citizen journalists out into the world to make the news and bring it home to you, that news that you're not supposed to know. All of that can be done with just a small amount of checkbook activism. You've heard me say it before, converting a little bit of pocket change into social change. It really does make a difference, and you, dear listener, are just the kind of person to make that difference. You've waited for other people to make the call, and they have. Why don't you call up and introduce yourself? Tell us ways in which KBOO enriched your life, because we know you're not given for our reasons, you give for your reasons. Maybe you won tickets, maybe you learned something about bike culture, maybe you got involved in a social change movement, maybe you heard a song or an artist that really changed your life. Whatever it was that made the difference, call us right now and tell us about it. 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you so much, Justin. You are listening to the KBOO Bike Show here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And this morning, we are talking with some of the magical elves that made the beautiful new trail system out in Sandy called Sandy Ridge. One of the things that's really, I want my listeners to kind of get a picture of, is that this trail system is a little bit of an extreme makeover. It's as if someone came to your house and said, Hey, you like living in your house. What's a couple things you'd like? And then they move the bus, and all of a sudden, in like this very short period of time, there's this magical transformation to this piece of land. There was a need in Portland for more mountain biking, and this was the answer. And for that to happen, there was a collaboration of organizations, and we're very lucky this morning to have a few of those people and leaders of those organizations with us. Adam Milner, outdoor recreational planner from the Bureau of Land Management, is here. Tom Slovak will be joining us in just a moment. He's the trail builder from the Northwest Trail Alliance. Jill Van Winkle, trail specialist from the International Mountain Biking Association, is also here. And we'll have a couple more guests joining us a little bit later in the hour. But first, I'd like to welcome Tom. Before we left, Jill was actually talking about the flow trails and designing trails for both sustainability and the new kind of way that trails are being looked at and designed. Did you want to finish what you were saying about that?
Oh, yeah. I think that one thing that sets Sandy apart from other trail systems, at least in this region so far, is that it is a bike-specific trail design system. And so we've all been on a lot of trails that are like hiking trails and bikes are allowed on them. And that's great. And that provides a certain kind of experience. But we were trying to really do something different at Sandy. We were trying to focus on the bicycling experience. And so the way that trails are designed, and for those of you who haven't been out there, you'll see something, it may not look that different, but when you're on a bike, it feels very different. And it's a lot of fun, and there are a lot of features and elements that we added to make it more enjoyable for bicycles.
It's that remodel that you never thought in your house, hey, if I lowered that kitchen counter because I'm short 2 inches, wow, that would make it so much easier to cut food and make the
make
dinner. And it's like when you're on that trail on the bike, you're just like, I didn't know it could be like this. It's so special. And I think I'd like to welcome Tom Slovak from the Northwest Trail Alliance, which is a local bike nonprofit organization that does a lot of advocacy in the Portland area. And he did a lot of work on the Sandy Ridge Trails. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Tori. It's great to be here.
So how did the Northwest Trail Alliance get involved with this project? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but I'm sure there was some kind of kismet that happened.
Yeah, so as Adam and Jill have mentioned before, Sandy Ridge is really the Sandy Ridge Trail System is really a collaborative effort between several organizations, two of those being the Bureau of Land Management and the International Mountain Bicycling Association. And then the third third component of that is the Northwest Trail Alliance. And Northwest Trail Alliance is a volunteer nonprofit that advocates for mountain bike use in the region, as well as provides trail building and maintenance resources, and a social component of that as well. During the planning for Sandy Ridge Trail System, with every trail system, there really needs to be some local group that's involved in the ongoing maintenance and care of that trail system. And that's where Northwest Trail Alliance came into the picture. Working with the Bureau of Land Management and the International Mountain Bicycling Association, we agreed to sign a trail maintenance agreement and agreed to host several trail maintenance days throughout the season to fix areas of the trail that needed attention, add improvements to the trail, and just be that caretaker for the trail system that we call Sandy Ridge.
And go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, and I was going to highlight, I mean, it's been great to work with the Northwest Trail Alliance. I mean, these guys get it. These guys know the relationship and what it can be between a land manager and the users. And I you know, this has been a really good relationship, I think, for both sides, that there's an open dialogue. I mean, this is why we're providing this, for people to enjoy it. And if we don't get that feedback and that engagement, then we can't be sure that we're doing a really good job. And so these things like trail work parties, you're talking about a direct feedback between the person responsible for taking care of that area and the user that's using it.
So Tom, for Tom Slovak, so for people who don't really understand or haven't been out mountain biking, can you explain what a trail work priority kind of looks like? Because it sounds like a party, which it kind of is. And there's some work involved. And also a little bit about what, can you give me maybe an example of what kind of work the trail actually needs? Because a lot of people who don't ride mountain bikes say, oh, mountain bikers, they ruin the trails, they destroy trails. Is there really that much destruction? What kind of work are you having to do?
So I think with mountain bicyclists, there is really, I think, a good ethic with most mountain bicyclists. They want to maintain and keep the trails that they ride in really good shape. And there's normal use that will cause deterioration of the trail, but there's also elements, primarily water, that creates
Pacific Northwest.
There's lots of water here in the Pacific Northwest that just, there's routine maintenance that needs to happen every season. We have the winter where we have tons of precipitation literally coming down, and then in the summertime it gets really dry. So we primarily do most of our work in the wintertime when there's moisture in the soil to maintain those trails, fix any erosion damage from the water. There's also, throughout the year, you have leaves that fall down, pine needles, just organic matter that gets on the trail, and then that will in turn collect water. And it's all kind of a process that needs to happen on a regular basis. Every season, you just kind of need to go back in there and give some love and care to the trails to keep them flowing and maintained properly.
And so that, so what I'm hearing is you're not really making repairs from riding, but you are maintaining the trail from natural things that happen from the environment to make sure that people can still ride it, and that the environment, kind of like you need to keep the moss off your roof to keep your roof from disintegrating, you're keeping things from the environment off the trail more than you're having to make repairs because the riding destroyed it.
Yeah, and it's kind of, if you properly maintain a trail, then it's less prone to be damaged from riding because, for example, if you keep the trail clear of organic material on the surface of the trail and allow water to properly run off the trail instead of puddling up on the trail, you're not going to get damage from people running through puddles or mud on the trail. So it's if you keep working to maintain the trail, it's just less work and less damage that will happen from the actual use of the trail.
Adam Milner?
And I would say, if you're listening to this and maybe you use trails, but you're a hiker and you're not really familiar with how the mountain biking piece works, I mean, the trail is the experience in many cases. The surroundings, the settings, that's important. But when you're hiking, and I do a lot of backpacking, I do a lot of hiking, it's a different experience. The experience when you're mountain biking is trail dependent. How the surface is, how the features are, whether there are puddles, those things all have a direct impact in your experience. You can't just hop over them when, like, you're on foot. I mean, you are dealing with all of those things. So you can kind of see there's just in Tom's discussion, there's a lot of thought that goes into this, a lot of particulars on what do we want the tread surface, the trail tread being the part that you actually use. What does that look like? Is it shedding water appropriately? So it's kind of fun because these things are also made of dirt and rocks and gravel. They can be moved by human beings. It's like if you're driving a road and you go, wow, that curve is really bad. Well, fixing that curve is going to cost you buko bucks. On a mountain bike trail, hey, let's go fix that on Saturday. So there's a real great, like, immediate human feedback with these trails where you can see a big improvement in a short amount of time.
And some of that feedback, I want to bring some more people into this conversation. Some of that feedback, and a lot of that trail work was brought by Sam Hardy, who's here with us today. He's the Ant Farm Workforce Development Supervisor, and his Youth Corps participants, one of who is here with us today, Travis Roundy. Welcome, Travis and Sam.
Thanks so much for having us, Tori.
So,
yeah, thank you.
Sam, I would love to know, can you, for our listeners who don't know anything about the Ant Farm and its might of one and power of many, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what the Ant Farm does and then how it got involved with Sandy
Ridge? Sure. We do a lot at Ant Farm, and we're kind of a small nonprofit, but we've got a staggering amount of programs, it seems at times. So to make it simple, we try and divide those things into indoor and outdoor classrooms. Primarily, we're a community center dedicated to serving the youth and connecting them with the outdoors, and hopefully with job opportunities. Our indoor classrooms right now, we have an Access Learning Center where we offer free tutoring to the community. We've got a cultural art space, which is an art gallery, open mic zone. A local woman even teaches a yoga class there. And coming June 1st, we're opening up the cafe and bakery. So on your way to the Sandy Ridge Trail System, please check that out. Stop in for a smoothie.
Sounds good.
How does the cafe and bakery fit into your programs?
Right now, the plan is every 3 months we'll have a different set of kids rolling through the cafe and bakery. They show up, they get their food handler's permit, they learn culinary skills, barista skills, cooking skills, and then after that 3 months is up, they roll out the door with a set of references ready to go stepping into the restaurant industry.
That's pretty amazing. And
we're excited about
how about your workforce as it relates to the Sandy Ridge Trail System?
Our youth corps has taken off thanks to huge support from the Bureau of Land Management and Sandy Ridge. Our executive director lives just down the road from Sandy Ridge. He was driving by one day a few years ago, noticed some construction vehicles driving up the road, and asked around and got plugged into a guy named Zach Jarrett. So he sent a couple emails, and voila, we had a crew out there within a couple months. Right now,
can you tell me a little bit about that first crew?
About that first crew, the first crew was led by our executive director himself and I think six kids who by most standards would be judged mentally disabled or incapable, unable to work. We took those kids out there and blew it away. I mean, these kids had an amazing experience. They felt a real sense of accomplishment and gratification from the users for the first time in their lives. So that was a pretty big accomplishment in and of itself, getting these kids who society would otherwise deem incapable to really show them up and step up to the plate and get some real good work done.
That's pretty amazing. So as part of that, how many youth have actually worked on the project at this point?
At this point, in the past 2 years, we've had 67 youth out on the trail.
Wow.
Both as paid employees and as workforce development interns.
So it's developed from a team of six. How do you have paid employees now? That's a huge transformation.
Thanks to folks at the Bureau of Land Management and continual funding and support from IMBA and guys at NWTA who...
So IMBA being the International Mountain Biking
Association, excuse
and
me.
And the Northwest Trail Alliance.
Yeah. Yeah, the support's been amazing, and really we'll do whatever we can to get kids out into the woods. I mean, primarily that's the goal, getting them out there and experiencing this project.
And part of your mission is also to not just connect kids with nature, get them working and having skill sets, but also to connect them with elders, which I thought was also pretty important. Yeah. That, and you can talk more about that, but I love the idea that it's not just a connection with nature and the land, but a connection with your community and where you come from.
I'd say that's a huge, huge part of our mission is fostering and heightening a sense of greater community in the Sandy area and pretty much everywhere anyone who's connected with the program goes. Our flagship program at Ant Farm is called Community Connect, and every Saturday, any kid who wants a job or anyone who wants to be involved has to show up and volunteer. We've got a huge binder filled with elders and disabled people who can't do things around the house for themselves, whether that's clean gutters, chop wood, mow the lawn. So we send our kids out and we serve. We do service projects. We do it for free. We bring the love.
That's pretty amazing. And you can feel that love in the trail system. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And we're in just a few seconds here, we're going to have to take a little break for our membership drive. But when we come back, I would love to have Travis join in on the conversation. Travis Roundy is one of those little ants who helped make, he's not that little, but helped make he's a big ant who helped
Fire
make some of those trails come to life. Right now, though, we're going to be joined by Justin and talking about our membership drive because we need you to become members. Places like the Ant Farm need community support. It's all about being a community, and you're a part of our community. You, the listener, is a part of what we need to make KBOO stay alive and have the vibrancy that we have here.
Absolutely fabulous, Tori. Couldn't have said it better myself. Destination programming here in Portland, Oregon, USA. The KBOO Bike Show on the first Wednesday of every month. This is exactly the kind of programming that highlights the services that your community radio station provides. We identify needs and we put on programming that is being left undone by other media sources, and we're able to do that because you, dear listener, answer the call by making the call. Toll free, 877-500-5266. That's toll free, 877-500-KBOO. You may be listening somewhere in North America at KBOO.FM, and you can make a secure donation there. You don't have to be in Portland. And in fact, we have an anonymous new member from Salem, and we really appreciate her call. We've got $300 to go, and there are thousands of you listening. I must imagine that the bike show in Portland, Oregon is going to meet its goal. And remember, folks out there in radio land, this is a labor of love by all of our programmers, but there is one piece of bragging rights that all the programmers appreciate, and that's making their goal, showing that the service that they are giving to the community is being recognized by the community, and that's is part of this feedback loop. We put out information, you put in a little of the fuel that your pocket change makes, and we go another 45 years, another 23 million commercial-free minutes. Call us right now, won't you? 877-500-5266. Perhaps you bikers out there, some of that money that you're not spending on petrol and car insurance and detailing of the car, maybe maybe you could peel off $40 a year or $100 a year and use that as a KBOO membership. And when you become a card-carrying member, I guarantee you, you're going to get that money back by flashing your card and receiving discounts at local businesses throughout the area. I guarantee you, you're going to get that money back. Not only that, the signal is going to sound different when you made it possible, when you engaged in a little bit of checkbook activism, converting that pocket change into social change. It's all going to happen because you made it happen, dear listener, and we're so grateful that you're moving to your phone right now and calling 877-500-5266. That's how it works. We put out information to the community based on the needs of the community, and the community gives back just a little bit, and we marry your monies with many other monies, and many monies are married, and that keeps the lights on and the transmitters functioning and the entire community served by real people with real voices making real radio. You won't find that on the commercial band, so please say thank you right now to the Bike Show Collective and to all of our ambassadors every hour of every day. 877-500-KBOO.
If you're out there listening, you are tuned into the KBOO Bike Show here on KBOO FM. Today, we are talking with all the people that made the Sandy Ridge Mountain Bike Trail System come to life. And some of those people are from the Ant Farm, whose motto is the might of one and the power of many. And if you are listening out there and you have not contributed and you're a regular listener to the Bike Show, I'm going to implore you right now to call that number, because it is your might of one that will make the power of many happen on this radio station today. And speaking of which, one of those many that's in the studio with us today is Travis Roundy, who's one of the youngins. You're not that young, are you, Travis?
No, I'm 20 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say. How long ago did you get involved with the Ant Farm Workforce Program, though?
Well, I believe it was about 2 years ago I started volunteering with Ant Farm. Originally, I was just kind of going in and doing whatever they needed me to do as they got the facility up and running. I did a lot of work in the garden that they have that they'll be supplying all of the produce for the cafe with. So I did a lot of
How big is that garden? I know that Sam had mentioned something to me about it.
Last year, we donated 6,000 pounds of produce to the local action center and to needy families. This year, a lot of that produce is going to pass through our cafe, like Travis said, but we're still planning on donating a good chunk to those in need.
So one of the most amazing things that I really want to point out to my listeners about the Ant Farm is that it's community. It's a holistic look at the community, that Sandy Ridge is part of this, yep, because it's part of the recreational opportunities, but it's really helping out your entire community and seeing the community as a whole, which is why they're starting this restaurant and why they are burning calories for the restaurant out trail building. Travis.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I got involved in that. And then throughout my time volunteering there, I had some friends that were on the trail crew, and they told me that I should really check it out. And I got to know Sam and joined on at the end of it. So here I am continuing to go on.
So, Sam, do you have any idea of how many – Sam Hardy, do you have any idea of how many hours the Ant Farm has put in on the Sandy Ridge Trail system?
A lot. Quite a bit.
You, honestly, I'm a mountain bike rider. This is part of the reason I was inspired to share this story with our listeners. And almost every time I've been out, probably one out of three times that I've been out there, the Ant Farm is also out there. The Ant Farm van is out there. And it's so amazing to have that experience interacting with the people who are making that fun that Jill was describing in the trails being designed, to be able to just look at somebody and say, thank you.
That is a two-way street, Tori. I think a huge draw to the job, what makes it so amazing, is that every day these kids get thanked. They get to feel the gratitude for what they're doing. They see people smiling. They hear people yelling, you know, flying through the woods. And then those same people stop, shake hands, give them a Cliff Bar. They really feel the appreciation, and that's huge. As far as man hours out there, if you figure you've got 8 kids out there for 40 hours a week over 3 months, I mean, we're talking about quite a bit of sweat, blood, and smiles put into this thing.
That's no tears.
No tears.
No tears. Travis, speaking of no tears, is there any particular stories, are there any moments that you have out there that really stand out for you?
There was a few times. It was, let's see, It was towards the end of the season there. There was this one corner that we were working on, and it was just this gigantic rock formation, and we basically spent half an hour with rock bars and sledgehammers just slamming away at it consistently, just going and going and going, and eventually broke through. And seeing what we opened up and what we created to get, like, to create that corner, and how hard the work was to move that rock back, but knowing that we could do it with just our hands and a few tools, was a really gratifying moment for me. And knowing that that's going to be a really crazy feature for somebody to ride next season, you know, that feels really good, and that's a cool thing to walk away from.
That you did it with your own hands. Yep. You moved rock.
We moved, and we broke rock.
Adam Milner, did you have something to add to that?
You know, it's just reminds me of the first time that Sam got involved in the project, Sam Hardy, because he was some of his college buddies, again, correct me if I'm wrong, their parents ran a company that builds bridges in the middle of the woods. That's a cool company, as an aside. But
Twin Oaks
Construction. And so I saw Sam out there. I worked alongside him, you know, building a chunk of trail. And I watched this individual push wheelbarrows full of rock uphill for 8 hours in a row and did it with a smile on his face the whole time. And I said, we have got to find a way to get this guy out here 24/7, 365.
Anybody who's that happy pushing wheelbarrows uphill? I don't even want to push an empty wheelbarrow up a hill.
Oh, no, it's really an honor to be a part of this team, Tori. I got to tell you, the culture of accomplishment that the Bureau of Land Management, International Mountain Biking Association, Northwest Trail Alliance, and everyone who's involved with this project brings to the table really, I mean, I fell in love with the project. I did anything I could.
Oh, Sam, thank you.
Summers running to get out there. And then I found this magical place called the Ant Farm. So, I mean, it's just a big win-win for me.
And Tom Slovak, do you at the Northwest Trail Alliance get to work with the Ant Farm?
So we do get to work with the Ant Farm a little bit. Primarily, they work during the week when they're working on the trail building itself. But they've been helping out and joining the Bureau of Land Management and Northwest Trail Alliance and the International Mountain Bicycling Association for the trail work days that we hold on the weekends. And it's been a great pleasure to work with Sam and Travis on those projects. Basically, Northwest Trail Alliance sponsors work days during the off season to maintain the trails. This off season being the winter season, we've been having those trail maintenance days, work parties on the second Saturdays of the month. We have one coming up on April 13th and another one, I believe it's May 11th. But again, these are the second Saturday of each month. We have all of these people, all these organizations involved in Sandy Ridge come out for that day. We have a meeting in the morning, usually about 10 o'clock, go over what we're going to accomplish for the day, have a quick safety meeting, and then head out to the designated work area on the trail and perform our maintenance. We usually do about 4 hours of work for a session, and everyone has a really great time. And it's just been amazing. What you see at Sandy Ridge is a combination of both Ant Farm and also all the volunteer labor that's been put in at these individual work maintenance days.
Which is pretty amazing. And if you want to get involved with those, you don't have to ride mountain bikes to learn how to trail build or to get involved with that trail building. We're going to hear more about that in a moment, but we are in the middle of our membership drive. And as Travis Roundy said about chipping away at that rock until it finally broke and cleared away, we want to chip away at our goal so that we can clear the way for more radio coming at you. Isn't that right, Justin?
Oh, that is fabulous, Tori. What a segue. And that's just one of the reasons we ask you to pick up your phone and take a minute out of your busy day and give us a little ringy-dingy, toll-free, 877-500-5266 to support this electronic bulletin board. So many different kinds of activism and social change are being brought into the community over our airwaves. Let's put a price on that. Right now, the price is $300, and we've got about 10 minutes, and there are thousands of you listening. Maybe three of you could do that modest $10 a month as a monthly electronic funds transfer. Maybe six of you could do modest $5 a month through that electronic funds transfer. Why don't you call us up and tell us what the right amount is for you? We can probably find you a thank you gift, but the real gift is this programming being made available. The real gift is knowing that there is public access to the public-owned airwaves. That is priceless in some sense, because as a people who mean to be their own government require the power that knowledge brings. And we're not going to rely on Fox News and NBC to give us that power. We are self-reliant, this community of thousands of people. You know, in an average week, we have more than 50,000 people listening. Won't a few of you take a moment out of your day and show your support? Maybe you've already given, and you might consider giving on behalf of someone else who is not able to give. Maybe if you're not able to come down and get involved, you could give a little bit and pay for someone else getting involved, someone else to get the training, someone else to become a citizen journalist, someone to bring you, dear listener, news and information that is not dictated by corporate interests, but rather by community needs. You make it possible to extol the values of peace and justice and diversity and equality. Won't you come aboard right now? 877-500-5266. We're about 15% behind on our overall goal of $99,000. So if you've been waiting until the point where you want to be the hero when that phone rings, now is your time, folks. You say thank you to Tori and the Bike Show Collective. You say thank you for all of our ambassadors who come in every hour of every day. Earlier, Jerry Mander said that capitalism never sleeps. Well, you know what? KBOO never sleeps either. We're here and available every hour of every day for well over 23 million commercial-free minutes. I'm not talking to the person driving behind you. I'm not talking to the person who lives across the street. I'm not talking to the person whose office is down the hall. I'm talking to you and saying, look, you joined a long time ago. You couldn't bear the shrieking heads, but odds are good that you've never made the call. So let's do a little science. You know what it sounds like as a passive listener. Won't you try one time becoming an active member and see if it doesn't sound different? See if you don't get your money back from the membership discounts from flashing your card. See if you don't walk a little taller from having engaged in a bit of checkbook activism. Come on, right now, 877-500-5266. Toll free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-KBOO. Tori in Portland renewed her membership. Thank you so much. And there's always room for more of you aboard the mighty 90.7. Don't just listen. You tried that, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's time to try more. It's time to rise up. It's time to reach deep down and rise up with your phone and be counted. Become a stakeholder. Help ignite conversation through music and news and public affairs and information you're not supposed to know. Make that available for the entire community. Help someone get the training to become a citizen journalist. Help keep the lights on. It's your station after all. It's as strong as you make it. If that's a nickel a day, or a dollar a day, or maybe that's $3 a day, whatever the amount is that's right for you, it's right for us, but we need to be able to count you. We need you to stand up. Toll free, 877-500-5266. We're asking you to engage in a little high stage moral behavior. Let's review basic stage theory. Stage one is when you do the right thing to avoid punishment. Well, that's good. If you'd like to call to make sure we don't come looking for you, that's fine. 877-500-KBOO. Stage two is when you do the right thing so that people will like you. Well, I can guarantee you that if you call up and introduce yourself, you're going to get some serious loving over the phone at 877-500-5266. But stage three, that high stage moral behavior, is when you do the right thing because it's the right thing. And that's what we're asking you to do. We don't want to bribe you. We don't want to guilt you. We want to remind you that we give you solid reasons to get on board every hour of every day. So come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Get involved in a little checkbook activism. Make yourself radioactive in the good way. Or maybe do that online at our website, kboo.fm. Review thousands and thousands of hours of programming. Maybe enter the KBOO poster contest. You might win one of those posters. Or call us up right now, toll free. Introduce yourself. everyone in the community will be grateful. 877-500-KBOO.
And we are grateful here on the KBOO Bike Show to have Jill Van Winkle, a trail specialist from the International Mountain Bike Association. We've been talking about the trail system at Sandy Ridge today, and Jill was going to talk a little bit about how the International Mountain Bike Association maintains their relationship, even though at the beginning you were brought in for just trail planning.
Yeah, so after the planning process, we continued our relationship with the Bureau of Land Management and started doing construction. And as we've been talking about, we work with a lot of hand crews with these youth core crews. And now our primary work crew that we work with is Ant Farm, luckily, because they're amazing and they are local. So this is their community that they're working in. So we do a lot of projects like this where it's kind of a hybrid construction project where we have a professional crew leader who's there on the trail almost every day during the build season, and they're working very closely with our youth core crew, like with Ant Farm in this case, and we have an amazing relationship working with both our Bureau of Land Management staff people and with the crews from Ant Farm. We do training with each of the crews one-on-one with our crew leaders, and we help them kind of make our vision come to a reality.
And do you also work with Northwest Trail Alliance then, as a division
of the International
Mountain Biking Association?
Yeah, so we also do work closely with the Northwest Trail Alliance, and they give us their feedback. They tell us what they want to see out there. So again, it's working in these collaborations. Northwest Trail Alliance says this is what we would like to see out there. We want another sort of downhill flow trail, and then we work to implement that with Ant Farm. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how the process goes from the day-to-day workflow.
If I could just add to that,
this is Sam Hardy from the Ant Farm.
The supervision from Jill Van Winkle, Chris Bernhardt, and Jason Wells and Shane Wilson from the International Mountain Biking Association has been integral to training our kids and our employees and providing that high-quality trail that you guys are enjoying so much.
Well, I want to thank all our guests for being here. Tom Slovak from the Northwest Trail Alliance, he had a shout out really quick.
Yeah, quickly, if you want to get involved with Sandy Ridge or contribute to Northwest Trail Alliance, our website is nw-trail.org. In there, you'll find our calendar, which tells about the Sandy Ridge work parties, as well as we're a finalist in a grant. So go to our homepage, nw-trail.org, and check it out.
Yep, and that grant could be integral to expanding the Sandy Ridge Trail system. So make sure if that's the kind of thing you want to support, you go support that. Thank you to all our guests. You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show. We're broadcast from Portland, Oregon on the first Wednesday of every month. Podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is produced by Michelle Poirot, Stephanie Routh, and myself, Tori Bortman. We'd like to thank our in-studio engineer, Kurt Lahr, our web host, Chris Smith, and our editor, Josh Hetrick. We'll be back next month with more news and views from the cycling world. Until then, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. This program was also brought to you by Artemis Foods, Portland's local organic and sustainable catering company since 2001. Special events, corporate and wedding catering with seasonal menus and service supported by sustainable business operations. They offer full service and drop-off catering. Information by phone or through their website, www.artemisfoods.com. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis and Albany. The time is 12 o'clock straight up. It's time for Jazz Lives with your host, Nick Geffra.
in Saturday, April 6th for a grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive, featuring live music, great programming, and charming hosts, all from the KBOO studios. From 2 to 5 p.m., The Motif will feature live music from Nick Geffro and Palante, Bach and Friends, and Charles Robinson. KBOO will reschedule the Hollywood Bowl event, but the same great performances will happen at the KBOO studio Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. A terrific grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive. Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tune in, enjoy, become a member. Thanks for listening.
This is KBOO News at noon for April 3rd, calling for greater access to affordable university education. Some 25,000 Chilean students demonstrated last Thursday in the streets of Santiago. They battled government forces after a supposed dispute with authorities over their proposed route. 60 students were arrested when they threw rocks and other projectiles at the troops when they sprayed them with water cannons and pepper spray. The conflict is a reflection of the wave of demonstrations that swept the nation in 2011 and 2012. According to protest representatives, they are demonstrating against gross profiteering by the country's private education system, a system they say that is driving many families into serious debt.
An environmental group charges the Environmental Protection Agency with haphazardly approving thousands of pesticides over the last several decades. They claim that some of these pesticides pose serious threats to humans and the environment. Many people believe pesticides approved by the EPA have gone through lengthy and rigorous testing. However, the environmental group claims that many of the pesticides approved because of a loophole in the regulations calling for conditional registration are approved after a hasty and potentially incomplete process. One of the pesticides is thought to be causing honeybees to die in record numbers. The EPA insists that they are using appropriate procedures and that the products approved are causing no unacceptable risk to humans or the environment.
Providence Portland Medical Center is opening a free drop-in child care center for parents and visitors in cooperation with a nonprofit group called My Little Waiting Room. My Little Waiting Room was set up by two Oregon mothers based on the experience of the co-founder, Amy Patterson, who cared for her toddler while fighting breast cancer. Staff from Volunteers of America in Oregon will operate the facility.
Northern Ireland's ban on gay marriage is being challenged by Amnesty International and gay pressure groups. They charge that since Ireland is part of the British Commonwealth, same-sex marriages should be legal in Ireland as soon as they are legalized in other parts of the United Kingdom. Failure to legalize same-sex marriages sets up the possibility that a gay couple married in Britain could have their marriage ruled null and void in Ireland if they relocated there due to work. The same-sex marriage bill was passed in the British House of Commons in February.
Two remote-controlled helicopters conducted short flights during a demonstration in Arlington, Texas yesterday. This may open a new era in urban law. However, police insist the helicopters will only be used for routine police operations, such as investigating fatal crashes and monitoring dramatic weather conditions. Others predict that the numerous unmanned aircraft could be operating within a decade. This could set up the possibility of a surveillance society in which no area will be off-limits to prying government eyes.
The U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid released their hospital inspection report results for the past 2 years. These results represent federal investigations of employee and patient-reported mistakes made by hospitals receiving payments from Medicare or Medicaid. The reports are organized into a searchable database available to the public. At least 82 violations were reported at Oregon hospitals since January 2011. The violations do not result in